You're listening to the Tribe Tech Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Tribe Tech Podcast, brought to you by Tech Southwest and part of the Southwest Tech Daily News website.
I'm Fayaza Khan and my co-host is Robert Hillier. There's a major Bristol event in October, which we're talking about this month, and we're getting ready for the Tech Southwest Awards in November.
Yes, it will be bigger than ever. Not only is there so much to celebrate, but all that pent up, I've not been to an award ceremony for 2 years, emotion will be unleashed.
This month, to round off our summer of in-depth one-to-ones, we've spoken to Joyanne Boyce, a marketing expert whose specialism is diversity. She's part of this year's Bristol Tech Fest, where the theme is...
diversity?
Yes. But before we play the clip, just a little heads up, it might sound a bit off because we've had a few technical errors this time around and we've only just managed to rescue some of our interview.
I don't think it's that bad. It's an interesting and a worthy topic, which is why we're still going to go ahead with it.
Let's hear from Joyanne.
Yeah, so the Tech Fest is in its third year and I'm pretty excited. So I am working alongside TechSpark to help create a speaker database of diverse voices called the Shift Speaker Database. So the focus this year is all about changing faces of tech, and part of that and part of my role is just helping to highlight the people we have speaking at conferences. The Southwest is like known for having a conference about any tech subject you can imagine, but sometimes those voices that are speaking, the keynotes, aren't always representative of how diverse the Southwest is.
So why is that?
A lot of it is network. I don't tend to say that the people aren't there, but it's just that they're not necessarily known, or they're not necessarily in the right networks. A lot of the time, conferences, especially when they're starting out, they'll just ask their friends to speak for free. They'll do mostly any kind of founder story or startup story. And that's why I think the speaker database and what TechSpark and the Bristol Technology Festival is doing is really important, because there are representative voices, there are women, there are people of color, there are disabled people in tech who have experience, knowledge and expertise to share at these conferences. So it's about highlighting them and giving them a platform.
Yeah, I 100% agree. But I also wonder if maybe sometimes this happens because when people are starting off these conferences and stuff, and yes, they're getting their friends and people who look like them, and that's generally who's in their circle, etc. But do you think also that maybe sometimes, because their friends tend to be those people, they see them as a safe pair of hands and they wouldn't want to have someone that's a little bit different, someone that they don't know entirely, someone that looks a little bit different, a woman, all these things, because they're not sure exactly how it's going to go.
There is that. From my public speaking experience, there are conference planners who tend to vet the speakers no matter who they are and kind of run through their talks, but there are the other ones who kind of go with people who they've seen speak before. So that's like they're assuming, oh, this will be well. And when there's no kind of knowledge of a person of color or a woman or their speaking background, there's the assumption that it won't do well, or there's an assumption or bias that they don't know the expertise or the technical background, which is unfortunate because a lot of the times, and we've seen it in the research, people of color, women, disabled people tend to have to work 3 or 4 times as hard to get the accreditations that they require. So they do have the knowledge, they do have the skill and the expertise to speak on it. It's just sometimes that some people's biases and their blind sides don't allow them to see that.
Do you know, because we know that as a sector, it's very dominated by white men. So how do you get around the fact that the database and the work you're trying to do has to draw from the number of people within the sector, doesn't it? So at the moment, you're drawing from quite a presumably quite a small number of people because we know of the lack of representation. How much of a challenge does that pose for you?
The challenge to me personally is not necessarily there, because I have a lived experience and I know where to find people. Essentially, the challenge it posed to the sector itself is changing the processes they have, and instead of like going to your LinkedIn and searching, looking at other organizations and kind of taking an extra step. It's kind of like just learning something new and making the effort to continuously do it. There's a lot of inconsistency when it comes to diversity and inclusion, where people will solely do things because it's Women's History Month, Black History Month, Disability Awareness Month. But throughout the rest of the year, their processes and their efforts to find these individuals doesn't continue. So it's about implementing it and continuing these processes throughout the year.
I was on my high horse earlier this week thinking, why do I stop talking about my kids? I should be able to talk about them. What's wrong with that? They are part of my life.
You have a valid point. But the only thing I will say, and this is something that I have become aware of, the underrepresented voices that are in positions of power have more flexibility to back the norm. So, like you said, you're in a position where you have your own podcast, you're doing your own thing, so you talking about your kids, if people don't like it, they can go elsewhere. But a person who's starting out in the sector, unfortunately, has to bend the norms, because if people don't like it, they may lose their role. So I think the society's changing a little bit, where we're seeing a lot of people who are in positions of power and an underrepresented voice. For example, Michaela Cole turning down a $1 million deal for Netflix and now winning an Emmy. She was able to do that because she had a track record, she had financial stability, she was able to do a various bunch of other things. There'd be other people now, if Netflix was like, we want to own all your content, they're going to do it because they haven't got that stability in the first place.
Yeah.
And I don't think stability is a privileged thing that we can all have no matter our background, but just realizing when you have it, to then use that power to enable others who don't.
Well said.
Because we've, as Fianza said at the start, this topic has dominated so much of the podcast over 2 years, and every single person you speak to says, you know, we're committed to this, and it's at the forefront of our thinking, and we're determined to address the lack of diversity. But progress is slow. From your perspective, do you think that spoken commitment is turning into action? And what do you think what are the blockers? What is stopping it? Because obviously people do say all the right things, don't they?
I do feel that some of the missteps people are taking is speaking before they have an action plan in place, just to save face. And if they look at their processes versus the front-facing angle versus, let's just chuck a woman, a person of colour, in a C-suite role, rather than looking at their whole hiring, why is no one getting progressed? Why is no one making steps up? Why is our company only attracting or marketing a certain audience? And look at those processes and change those processes before they make the public announcement of we care about things, is really important. And I think through my experience, there are companies, and quite a few of them are part of the tech festival, that I know are trying to tighten those processes. And it's not the pretty stuff. It's not the stuff you can talk about a lot of the times. The stuff you hear in the press, people donating money or doing flashy things, but someone sitting down and saying, yeah, we pinned through our whole HR pipeline, picked out all the points where we can improve, really reassessed what we're doing. You're not going to write news about that, are you?
No, you're absolutely right. And I think what we speak to people like, I think we've had probably four companies on here who, in the last 8 months, who all go into businesses and help them improve their diversity, whether that's, you know, including people of colour, whether that's including people from LGBTQ backgrounds, or lessening or decreasing the gender pay gap. And yet I feel as if it's something that we still keep talking about. And during the pandemic, when Tech Southwest did a survey, its research found that there were so many things that were great during the pandemic, the way tech companies handled it and the way tech companies were able to continue working and continue providing for their customers. But the things that stopped happening were their focus on diversity and their focus on sort of balancing out genders within the workplace. And I wonder why that's not just part of their daily recruitment. This is just Southwest in general, because obviously we can't use elsewhere because we don't know the details. But just the Southwest, why did diversity fall off the agenda when they were dealing with the pandemic? And why did gender fall off in general? Because surely it should just be part of HR. It just should be part of their recruitment drive.
Well, yes, because, sorry, I'm just going to stick in here. It's because it's still seen as a nice to have add-on that requires additional expertise and investment. So when you pull yourself back to your core business, it's one of the first things to drop off, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's what's sad.
It's seen as a charitable action or coming out of the CSR budget. So there are individuals and companies out there that focus on gender pay gap, which will work with HR and work with salary. There are companies like myself that I run that works with the inclusive marketing aspect and works with the marketing team and focuses on that aspect so we can build that process within the company rather than going into a company and saying, hey, I can fix all these areas you have problems with one unconscious bias workshop. That's where the main change can happen for it to be more sustainable.
Tweet now, Tech SW Official.
Good stuff. We also want to talk about the Southwest Tech Daily website where there's lots going on.
News from Bristol, where Set Squared have relaunched their bursary for entrepreneurs from black and ethnic minority backgrounds. Barnstable-based Applegate has partnered with a major European firm to widen access to its procurement platform.
Plymouth City College software developer course has been approved by the government as one of only 30 in the country to qualify as a higher technical qualification. I went there once, but it wasn't called that then. And you're on there, Fiaza, urging people to treat boys and girls the same and tackle the unconscious language bias.
Yeah, that's actually had quite a lot of views and engagement on LinkedIn. We also have a great article from Joe Bevan. He's done a one-on-one with the head of Singer Instruments, which is based in Somerset. They're working with a Japanese company that has found a way to turn spider silk into fabric. Isn't that amazing? Like, are you gonna...
Well, until I try their trousers, I can't comment. Is this a bit me next month? We'll be building up to what's already been dubbed the Southwest's event of the year as we head to Bristol to hear from some of the finalists of this year's Tech Southwest Awards.
I can't wait for that. I'm really excited. Last year was fantastic, even though it was online. I mean, it was really, really good. And we had pizza afterward.
And can I still fit into my tuxedo?
Well, we shall have to find out.
No time to eat between now and then. That's a James Bond reference.
Yeah, well done. Well, thanks for listening, guys. Sorry about the awful audio.
Which isn't that bad.
That kind of stuff never happens to me.
Normal will notice.
It's fine. It's okay. We'll cope. We move on. Yeah, but please subscribe to the podcast. That's how we know how many people are listening, and it just helps us get up higher in the podcast stakes. I don't know what I'm saying. I want people to subscribe.
I think anybody who's still listening to this at this point is already a huge fan. Because I'm not, and I present the damn thing.
Oh my God. Okay, well, thanks so much for listening. Please tweet us at TechSWOfficial or find me on LinkedIn. I mean, find Robert, but he's unlikely to respond. And thanks so much for being here, guys. We really appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye.
A Tech Southwest podcast, Tribe Tech. You can get in touch with us by tweeting TechSWOfficial.